Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to a refreshed and revamped, socially distanced, and Black Lives Matter supporting episode of Love Handles. Today, the lyric diva herself, Gina Hanslick, and I dive into our feelings and takeaways from the Met's production of Agrippina, starring an all-star cast of Handle professionals who handle Handle professionally. Grab a drink if that's your prerogative and enjoy this chit-chat, impudicas. West Virginia.
Hello.
Mountain Mama. Yo, Knives Out, highly recommend.
Really?
Yeah. It's good. I wasn't ready. Murder mystery.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Y'all, I watched Moonlight last night. Also, highly recommend.
Good to know. We love that.
Like very tasteful.
It's okay.
Tasteful film.
A tasteful film. I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Are you drinking anything?
Am I drinking? No, but I can go get a drink. I also need to go get headphones. I forgot these speaker computer sounds are terrible.
Terrifying. Yeah, sure. All right. Go get a drink. I have a drink.
You have a drink?
Yeah.
What you drinking?
A rosé, a Cabernet Franc.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, that's nice. Atlantique. So let me go get headphones and a glass of wine, and I'll be back in like maybe 90 seconds.
All right. Bless out.
Okay.
Ooh, what you drinking?
Little unfiltered white.
That's what they call me.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that fun?
It's very fun.
We were in the aisle of the wines yesterday, and we were in the...
The
aisle of the wines. And
Le Devin?
Yep, that's it. And it was with the white blends, and I said, hello, my people. It's me.
Love that.
I know, right? Gina Hanslick.
Same.
You are a soprano.
I am.
An educator.
Also.
You are also fitness goals.
Thank you. As I literally just ate half a chocolate chip cookie.
I love, listen, you're, if anything, a complex human.
Mm-hmm.
You have some of the most exciting singing, in my humble opinion.
Oh, thank you.
You do great character work with some classic repertoire, like yep. Lucia.
Yep.
And you were one of the most fun Cunegondas.
Oh, that was a riot.
I've ever seen.
My pleasure to be the Cunegonda to your old lady.
And you are also a friend that I talk to every single day and can talk to about anything, like no matter how light or heavy the topic might be. Would you say that's an accurate summation?
That's a very accurate summation, because right. I am complex, as in I literally just ate a chocolate chip cookie and have a box of seaweed right here. So
your
a Nalgene of water and an unfiltered white. Like how many? Oh, I love it. Cunegonda and Lucia. So good.
Right. Okay. Can you kind of give me an idea of your relationship with Handel? As a composer?
Yeah. Didn't sing any Handel until I started my master's. I think my first exposure to Handel, fortunately or unfortunately, or just nothing, just neutral, was Alcina at McGill.
That was a great production. Well, controversial.
It was controversial. I'm not sure I knew it was controversial when I was consuming it, but... And then Stephen Hargreaves, actually, my first Handel aria was Se giunge un dispetto from Agrippina. Stephen Hargreaves gave that one to me. And so that was kind of where I started with Handel. Didn't really know how to move my voice for Handel. My Handel rep. I'm putting that in air quotes. Until like midway through my master's, and then I started working on it more and more, and now it's always
you got the part voice of my package. To scoot.
Yeah.
The voce's scootin'.
Yep. So that's kind of my relationship with Handel. I saw Agrippina at the Met. Right. I've seen various handles here and there. And yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about Agrippina.
We're going to do it. I'm ready.
Yeah, we both went and saw the Met's Agrippina with Joyce DiDonato.
We did.
Brenda Ray.
Yep.
Who else was in there?
Kate Lindsay. Praise her.
Kate Lindsay. Yeah.
Easton Davies.
Everyone was so good. Honestly, one of the best things I've seen at the Met ever.
Agreed. Agreed.
And I don't say that lightly.
No. I live in New York. I moved here, as you know, within the last year. And I think I've seen almost every production on the Met season before COVID happened. And I would say the singing across the board for Agrippina was super high quality, which I can't say about every show. Usually there's a standout or two and everyone else is like, okay. But wow. And also what shocked me with that production in particular was they all sounded like they could have kept singing for like 10 more hours. They sounded just as fresh at the end as they did at the beginning, which was just so stunning to me.
Yeah, shows like real mastery of that repertoire.
Damn good singers. Yeah.
Good for them. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna challenge you to do something.
Okay.
Do you think I want you to like give a broad strokes idea of the plot of this opera in like 3 sentences?
Sure. So
good luck, because
Agrippina is our main lady. She uses love and seduction to perpetuate her political goals. Is that one sentence?
Yep, we'll count it as one.
Okay. There are various love triangles that move through deceit and true love. And in the end, we see almost everybody's goal realized. Though their path to that goal is probably not what they thought it was going to be at the beginning of the opera.
Hey, that's pretty good. I would not have been able to do it that well.
I mean, I didn't list any characters other than Agrippina, but once you start listing the characters, you have to like go because there's so many.
They really did that. Okay. But like, I was doing a little bit of reading about this opera today, just because I was like, I should like have things to say about those. So out of all those characters, they're all based off of like actual, like real life
characters
in history. Right. Yeah. Except for one character, which is like kind of impressive. It's the Lesbos, that little servant character that keeps popping in and out.
Sure.
Yeah. He is the only one that's like not actually a person in history.
Love that.
Yeah. And it is super interesting to see a woman have so much power in an opera like this. It was so like invigorating and just like living the whole time. I don't know if you felt me behind you just vibrating.
I'm vigorously nodding right now. Yes, I did. I did feel you.
Oh yeah.
I think at one point, not a visual.
This is not a visual platform, but yes.
Right. I think at one point I even recall you reaching forward and placing a hand on my shoulder.
Just like I'm fully, my hands around your neck, just like as things are happening. Joyce DiDonato walks out, my hands are around your neck.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she really sang that. Also, like you said, is leading every scene. And I loved her journey all the way through the end. What is the last one? Se voi pace o volto, whatever. It was just so genuine after this whole opera of her being conniving and like double meanings and hidden agendas. And then at the end, it's really just you know, if you want peace, you know, give up the hatred and let it all go. And I was shocked at how she transitioned, because the whole piece, especially the way the Met did it, which is the one I'm thinking of because it's the one I most recently saw, was so farcical and sarcastic and like dirty. Yes. And there were a few moments that popped out that were really genuine. And that was one of them, Agrippina's final aria, when she just demonstrates her leadership over everything. And that through line comes through and it's like, oh, she's been running the show the whole time.
Well, this is the interesting thing that I was, this is another thing that I was just reading today. Not my opinion, this is someone else's opinions that I was agreed with. So there is no righteous character. There's only one righteous character in this entire opera that's like not, that is like not morally corrupt. And that's Atone.
Atone.
Who is kind of like the pawn for everyone else.
Yeah.
Who like, who's done the one good thing by saving Claudius.
Right.
But is like punished for that.
Yeah.
Because everyone uses him as a pawn to get to their end goal.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that was, someone referred to this as an anti-heroic satirical comedy. And I think they did a really good job of like,
really that's, accurate.
They went with farce. And I think that's like such a great way to go with something as like out there as this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that was like interesting.
When I started working with this opera, I didn't realize the extent of the satirical comedy that it was. It's really funny.
Well, we associate so much of his like musical dramas as like dramas. There's never like a, but he was really tongue in cheek about it. And it's mostly,
yes.
So I also, another fun fact that I really, things really brought things to light for me in this piece because I just like wasn't expecting it to be so funny.
Yeah.
Was the fact that, so.
The Met's production, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or anyone's production. I watched, oh gosh, there's a company in Houston. I watched theirs.
Sure.
With Arye Nussbaum Cohen.
Yes.
He was there, Atone.
Yeah.
But so Grimani.
So who lovable.
Right. I know, right? That character's so lovable because good he's casting. the only good one. The only like good person.
Right.
Grimani, the librettist.
Right.
Used this as a chance to attack the Pope at the time because he didn't believe with him politically.
Mm.
And so Claudius is like a representation of Pope Clement the 11th. And that's
interesting.
Why.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, so all, he used like these real characters in history to kind of shroud the fact that he was poking fun at a person who he just like didn't agree with.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And I was like, hell yeah, way to like,
well done.
Stick it to the man. Way right. to stick it to the church.
Like the man, literally right. the Pope.
Right.
Yeah. In regards to the Otone comment, you know, I also like that his kind of goodness pervades like around him. So any scene where he's in, it different if it's like a quartet or whatever, but all the duets where it's Otone and somebody else, suddenly that other person also becomes morally more aligned.
Yeah, which draws him into like his like goodness.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So we see Poppaea, I'm thinking especially because I'm most familiar with her journey character-wise, is she's a mess. Like she doesn't know who to trust and how to, you know, she's a mess. And when mm-hmm. she gets with him, I see, even you hear it musically, like she comes down a little bit from this high level, like coloratura and la, la, la.
Right, it goes from like fioritura to like, okay, we're having a lyrical moment.
Oh my gosh, I have a line suddenly that's not spanning five octaves. And I noticed that with like all the characters, suddenly the good comes out and then there's a beautiful lyrical line as well.
Yeah, which, every like, character bravo. At least gets like one aria to show their humanity.
Yes, yes.
The rest of it's insane except for...
Yeah.
You know, until you get that one aria where you're like, oh, they are like a real person.
There
oh,
they
they're
are.
A person.
Right, right.
Oh, Claudius like loves Agrippina. I mean, sure he like kind of strays, but like he respects her.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. I think there's lots of, you know, there are so many arias in this opera.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a little jam-packed.
So I think when we do get that aria, like it's definitely a challenge as a singer to know when that moment is and like build to it and come down from it. Cause I think that kind of defines each character's arc throughout the piece. But I don't know. I just love the character of Otone. He's so pure.
He's so pure.
And within the rest of this like messed up character set, they right. all have like some of the most interesting and I don't know, kind of like gross qualities of humans, but I love it.
Right.
Good job, Handel.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, especially like, because he ends up with Popeye.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. But like, it always gets the girl.
Yep.
Someone also said that this is the beginning of Handel writing these sex kitten roles.
Oh.
This is the first time we see him be like, oh, like, she can be sexy.
Yeah,
like, oh, we have a sexy character. Ooh.
Ah, because this is an early opera-ish for him.
Yeah, this is new. So this was like his like first like giant piece.
Right.
And then 2 years later you'd see him like grab a bunch of these pieces and put them in like Rinaldo.
Sure.
Also that's amazing. Yeah. This is considered like the first masterpiece. Yeah. I put air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put air quotes. No one can see that. I get that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, you would see him pull a bunch of these pieces for a bunch of his other pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he had just finished running around Italy at the time. He was learning the Italian style when he was writing this.
Mm.
Which is like well kind of interesting. I know, right? And then he pulled from a lot of French Baroque, which I thought was interesting. Mm. Like the overture is like in very French Baroque style, mm-hmm. nerdy stuff, but mm-hmm. you know, I thought that was interesting, because like listening to that overture, I was like, this is not like from the Handel that I've done, I was like, this is not Italian.
No, Handel. Yeah, it,
like,
I hear
the
that.
Overture feels so like French.
Yeah, like, now that you say that, I hear that.
Just trills on trills on trills.
Yep. And so many trills, I'm thinking too now of all these arias, because I just rewatched some of the Met production on Met mm-hmm. HD. Much trilling.
Wait, tell me what give me like what is your what was the most impactful aria for you? That's what I want to ask. Like, which one like stuck out the most to you?
Well, I think Otone's aria, what is it, when everybody disowns him and they all leave and he's left one. What is that, end of act two? Middle of act two. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's
Voi che udite, is that it?
Yeah. I think so.
That one after it's
heartbreaking.
It's so much mess before that and lots of characters and lots of recit and everything's fast and we have tons of, you know, like coloratura and big coloratura stuff, and then that aria comes out and it's so simple. And I think when it's sung well, it's just arresting. Simply because of where it sits. I mean, also it's really great writing, but where it sits in the opera, I think makes it especially.
It's the like crux moment of like, everyone is now come for him. And now he's like, what? I thought I did a good thing.
Exactly.
I thought I did the thing.
Yeah. So that moment especially sticks out for me, also just because I love that character.
Wait, hang on, I can put a clip of it right here. Thank you. lit. That's for me later.
Okay, great. Yeah, so that's one part that sticks out to me.
Yes. Okay, I was going to say, okay, one of the other ones that got me real good is the aria that you sang, the Seijun Ji and Dispetto.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of Act One.
Yeah.
Just because we get to see, like, Poppaea kind of lose her mind and be like, well, no one loves me, so, like, let's fuck some shit up.
Truly.
This is my, like, and Brenda Rae just, like, she really did that.
She went for it. She went for it. I can't say that it's my favorite rendition of that aria, nor is it my favorite thing that she's done, but she committed so fully to that.
she said, I guess I'm gonna eat these chocolates and chug this wine. And
she like smears them on her face and then proceeds to sing the repeat. Oh my gosh.
When I was leaving the theater, she was in the subway car that I got on. And I almost went up to her and I wanted to be like, hey, Brenda, just let you know, you are my queen.
She slayed it.
Yeah, our friend told me not to do that, so I didn't do that. But I was so close. I was like, do I go say hi? What do I do?
I from afar.
I just sat there and stared.
Yeah.
Like a weirdo. Yeah, but that one just like really got me good.
Yeah, I think also, you know, I'm thinking of the way I learned that aria. When you just read the text, it doesn't feel like much, but when you look at everything that's happened to her and around her, and then you see where that aria sits, it's
she kind of has a right to be like,
yeah,
okay, like, yeah, go off, sis.
Yeah,
feel your feelings.
Right And then, you know, she comes for people after that. But you know, I think you and I discussed this after we saw the opera. I guess the way I learned Handel was like, it's Handel, put it in a box and, you know, everything's clean and organized. And Brenda Rae just took breaths everywhere that she needed a breath. And then sometimes she ornamented instead of adding, she ornamented down, like, instead of and I was like, wow. Normally when I do that, coaches are like, don't make it quote unquote easier by taking notes out, you know.
Oh, I feel attacked.
I always sit there and I go, yeah, but you know, she's breathless in this moment, like I want to have space there. And Brenda Rae totally went for that. And
super dramatically informed, like, yes, choices. Yeah. And like,
yeah,
once you say the sentence once, like, we know the sentence, we know what the words are, like, breathe in the middle of the word if you gotta, like,
yeah,
we know what you're saying.
She totally sold it. And I was like, permission
that's an unpopular opinion.
Granted. Permission granted.
Yeah. Like, bitch, you do that.
So I really appreciated those choices. Also, like, there's one scene in particular where she's singing to Nerone. I'm not sure if you remember this. I'm only talking about the Met staging. I should talk about other stagings as well, but that's the one that's familiar in my head. Also, yep, very good. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. She's like, when they're at the bar, do you remember this scene?
Yeah.
And she's like quote unquote rubbing Nerone, but she's rubbing the table. And she's like, her ornaments are like sex noises.
Yeah.
In pitched sex noises. Oh my God. It was so, I'm not sure it was historically like appropriate or accurate, but I got over it because it was so good. Got over it.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great. And I love that. Yeah. Because in the libretto, it says that she falls asleep in a field of flowers, but they made her fall asleep in like a vase of flowers. And I was like, you better use this to your advantage. This is so good. Okay, wait. I also want to talk about Pensieri voi vi tormentate. which is the mad scene that Agrippina gets. Because I love a mad scene.
Oh, really, you know, do. Me. You know me.
All right, Lucia. All right, Lucia.
Okay, let's see.
Joyce said, I don't want shoes for this scene. I'm going to lay on my own tomb and throw it around. And we're going to just go back and forth. This is in the middle of Act Two, where she's just fully having this back and forth with herself, saying, everything is going so well.
Right.
But things could also not be going well.
Right.
I don't know.
They could fall apart any minute. Has my influence dug deep enough into each of these pawns and my...
Right. And it just... Handel really did that, where he's just like, have a lyrical line. Oh, wait, but you're doubting yourself, so let's get crazy.
Yes. Yes. So good. So good.
He... Oh, man. That just makes me so happy.
I love that. So I think these are things that when you first start engaging with Handel's work, you don't always notice. And the more you sit with it and the deeper you dig into it, you're like, there it is. Some stuff really pops out at you, right? Like there's some Puccini lines that you're, the first time you hear it, you're like, ah!
You're like, oh, okay, this is happening.
Right.
So this is happening?
Right. But with Handel, I think sometimes it like the more you hear it, the more it goes for you.
Yep.
And the more of his work that you consume, the more you get. I mean, sometimes it gets long, et cetera, et cetera. The form sometimes bothers me. The ABA stuff I get tired of because I'm a Strauss lover. But I think also those aren't synonymous or separate. I'm just saying I love Strauss, which is
ignore me
quite,
and pouring more wine.
Quite opposite of Handel as far as form goes. But yeah, I think the more you sit with it too, the more you hear that text setting that he does so well come out. And it's not just ABA, it's so much more than that.
Right.
Which you can see in that aria specifically.
Oh, yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh. Man, that music, I mean, like, yeah, it makes sense. It's a masterpiece. They were right. They were like, this is his first masterpiece. And I was like, is it? It is.
It is. It is. It's good.
And all right.
It's a tough sing, too.
It's a long sing for it's everybody. It's a long sing. For everybody involved.
Yeah.
Okay, this was a question that I was asking for a while, but I don't know. I want to know your opinion about this. Okay, do you think that this opera does well, like, more updated? Or, like, would you change the, like, setting of this opera? I can't get the Met's, like, really good staging out of it. Listen, I am not the biggest Met fan in the world.
Right.
And
it's hard to be right now.
It's super hard to be right now.
Yeah.
And, but this, they just got it really right. I think it was just like really well, it was farcical enough and like fantasy enough and so like out there that it was a really nice balance of like, these are things that could totally have happened, but like, it's also ridiculous. But the other one, the Houston one, I wish I could remember what company that was, but it was in Houston. They did it very Art Deco flapper.
Yes, I've seen this. They have like sparkly pants on and stuff.
Yeah, everyone has like these like Art Deco blazers, Agrippina's in like these like those like flapper jewels and like some sequin pants. Oh, it's mm-hmm. it looks stunning and it totally makes sense. But instead of using a chorus, it seemed like they were using the audience as the chorus, and they were like, it, because in the Met production, for anyone that hasn't seen it, it's they're using a TV broadcast to broadcast the news of the king's yep. death and everything. Yep. Yep. To kind of like spread the word of what's happening.
The TV crew.
Yeah, and it seemed like they asked the Zagrapina to speak to the audience as if the audience were the people of the kingdom, which I thought was like super inviting and interesting. Kind of makes you feel like you're part of the action, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
I'm
looking at the setting right now.
Oh yeah, if you could tell me what company that is, that would be
Ars Lyrica.
Oh, Ars Lyrica. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ars Lyrica?
In Houston.
Okay. This, honestly, when I look at this, I'm thinking like Fledermaus, which is weird, but...
It was also the Fledermaus that we did was very Art Deco-y.
Yeah, yeah. I love the way the... Oh, I like this. Okay, I'm seeing the jackets and such now. That's nice. Yeah. It's nice. It's clean. I think Handel needs to be clean.
Agreed. I think unless you can ball out on a budget, like you gotta be careful. But yeah, like I said, if you have any ideas into what you would like to see with this,
mm-hmm.
you know,
I like I said, I like when Handel is clean. There's so much happening as far as characters and things that I don't necessarily want a lot on stage, as far as like set and. You know, I don't want like a big Norma tree or anything. I just kind of want it clean on stage, which mm-hmm. I think the Met did well. Just kind of the moving stairs and the tombs. Oh, the tombs, so good. I think, I don't know, this is very opera-y. This is anything-y. If you do it, it has to be like all the way. And I think at the end of Act One, I actually turned and looked at you and was like, I hate this. Of yes. the Met production, because yeah. it was so not serious. I almost felt offended. I was like, come on, this is like Handel, like sing it. Right. Like don't be jokey about it. But mm-hmm. the more it went on, the more I saw that the characters were not putting on a joke. They were like really had inhabited these spaces, which was so different than all of the other things that I had seen at the Met so far that season. Which I think is why I liked the production so much, because it wasn't expected.
Everyone really committed.
Yes. I'm thinking of Kate Lindsay. Holy sheesh, the things she did with her body.
You can swear, that's fine.
Holy shit, she was like writhing on the floor.
Yeah.
And snorting, like, can you imagine snorting something? I mean she actually poured powder out, so there's no way she didn't get powder in her orifices yeah. before.
I mean she was doing planks in the middle of her aria.
Unreal,
you dumb bitch, how dare you.
It's amazing the commitment. I didn't love all of the physicalizations that she did, but she committed to it, and like
mm-hmm.
I respect that. I'd rather have you do something the whole way through fully than halfway. But yeah, I guess I liked the way the Met staged it. I liked their set. I liked their costumes.
That question I normally ask when like I see a production that is very tradition, like a very traditional production.
Sure.
With like, yeah, like if they were to do it in togas and like
no,
and be like, no. Well,
no,
this is Rome. Enjoy.
I'm not into that. I think Handel yeah. meant it as you said also. Grimani wrote it as a commentary, a political commentary on the time, in regards to the Pope at the time. So I think that it was well thought out, and that's a good decision to do it quote unquote updated. I mean, they're right. wearing, like...
They were really doing, like, a political... They did a political commentary on, like, yeah. a very specific blonde, large dictator.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. whether or not they wanted that to be specific, I said, now there. Hang on a second. They
it was certainly there.
Have a blonde man.
Yep.
Paying off a young woman to be in his quarters.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, yep.
Mm. And his wife is furious.
Yes.
Yikes.
Yes. Ew. I liked it. I think it was more believable because I don't know why opera has to be believable. It doesn't. But I bought into it because I saw the characters in a way that I recognized them. Also, when you think about ancient Rome, I mean, now I think about sarcasm and nastiness and satire. But usually when you think about ancient Rome, you think of like, kind of proper and it's in a box and
Greek tragedy.
Yes, that's where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. And I loved that because they weren't dressed that way, there was like permission to go to a full anal stimulation moment in a movie theater.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's right. They really did
that. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
One point I was like, wait, is that behind? Is she going from behind?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Joyce.
I said, y'all are getting salty.
That was a great aria. Oh, I love that scene too. Oh, and the like other couples in the theater watching, were they in a restaurant or a theater?
I think they were supposed to be in a theater.
Oh shit, like, the other
Yeah, oh, it was so good.
It was so funny.
I'm glad that they got like all the other, like the supers and the chorus members to like play along with it and to like have, like they gave them permission to just go with it.
Yeah.
And like really embody like background characters, which I thought was really fun.
I think that was the moment when I was like, oh, okay. All right. I get it now. It took me a while to get where they were going with it because in my head, especially because I do that, you know, an aria from this piece is so set of what it looks like in my head. And then when I don't see that on stage, it's like a little arresting. Like I said, I was almost offended that they were like breathing in the middle of a word. I was like, oh dear. Especially because it's in my audition package. So, but then once I saw that scene, I was like, oh, they don't give a fuck. They're telling the story. They're embodying the characters. Like they've totally done the work.
Yeah. They did that. Love it. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to ask you one more big question.
Oh.
And all right. If you could have any singer sing Handel, who would it be? And I will give you my answer to give you a second to think.
Okay.
I always say Dolly Parton every time because I just want a Dolly Parton Elchina. I want a Dolly Parton Ginevra. I want a Dolly Parton Agrippina. Just like these women. I want her to be a Handel witch, Handel like badass. That would just make me so happy because you can't be mad at her.
you're a Dolly Parton lover too.
I really am. I just want her to make us all fall in love with these just strong lady characters.
Yes.
That I think can be so misunderstood.
Oh, she would be such a good fit too, because you know, there is the farce of Dolly, which she totally owns, mm-hmm. but she's also like really real.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a really good one.
I know. I feel like I should prepare people for this question, but I also kind of like springing it on people.
Any singer to sing Handel. Of course, my mind automatically went to classical singers. But you mean like any singer?
Yeah, it could be any singer. Anyone you want.
I don't know. Is it weird? I'm going to say like Bob Dylan.
I mean, it's a choice. I'd love to hear your reasons. I'm open to your reasons.
Or like, I'm thinking of like, this is weird. I'm thinking of good lyricists that I love. Like, right? So Bob Dylan, like, fine singer, but like really good writer, I think, and mm-hmm. somehow captures in his music like very specific feelings, even though his voice is like just pretty good. And I would love to see him get It's so weird. It's so weird to get into some handle stuff. And
where he only has two sentences to be able to say an entire piece.
Yeah. But I think he does that in his own writing. Like, he says one thing and then says it again and it means something totally different.
That's a great answer. Okay, I'm behind this answer now.
So I think that would suit the form of Handel opera as well. That's my answer.
I love it. No, I think that's great. I love that. Okay. If people wanted to find you for things, where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Gina Hanslick is my handle. My Instagram handle is Gina E. Hanslick. Gina E as in Emma or egg. I mean, it's Emma, but E as in egg. Hanslick. Gina E. Hanslick. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. My website is just ginahanslick.com, and all of my socials are linked there, as well as videos and what's coming up next for me, which is not a lot right now because COVID.
Because we're in quarantine. That's why we're back doing this, because I have nothing better to do.
Yep. Yeah.
Thanks so much for doing this. Thanks.
Yay! Good chat. Yeah, I'm glad we got to talk about this one, and we got to see it together at the Met. What a joy that was.
What a joy.
What a joy. Cool. Thanks so much.
Yeah, of course.